is known by His love. What a great blessing. I was commenting to Twyla, I just love the music here, love the heart attitude and singing it. The seems like y'all enjoy singing a little bit. I love it. I was a music minister before I became a pastor, and many of you might say after this message, you should have stayed a music minister. But anyway, I'm very thankful that we get to be here. We have enjoyed our time, as I said, in the Sunday school hour with the pastor and his wife. They are just very hospitable people. They're exactly what the Bible says they should be as those in the ministry. Very thankful for that. Have laughed quite a bit. He can get me going where I laugh pretty hard, where I can't recover. And so I'm praying he doesn't do that in this instance. And then he can get mad. I didn't want to say that in front of people. But but if you're going to have one extreme, you got to have the other. I don't know. If you take your Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. The Lord certainly has pressed me, and I believe many pastors and those who were pastors, those who are students of the Bible, I believe have to be very convinced that Jesus is coming to rapture the church very, very soon. Not because of necessarily what's going on in the world, but because the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. And we have a yearning. I mean, I want it to be over anyway, but I have a yearning to see Jesus. And it seems to be getting stronger every day. So the church at Thessalonica was a church that that Paul had really started and spent time with and taught. There's been some false teachers that came through and started preaching that Jesus had already raptured the church, that they had missed it. And so these folks were very concerned about their loved ones who got saved. Why did they get saved if they're not going to go to heaven? And what about us? We're kind of left behind. And the history and the background of the church at Thessalonica is a very rich history. You should read it in Acts. It's just a wonderful story how that they responded to the Word of God. And the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, it talks about how that they turned from false gods to the one true and living God. They did it. They were all in. Many of you can understand that. The gentleman who prayed this morning, I thought it was a great testimony that after he got saved, he said, "Lord, I just saw that this was what I was supposed to do, and I did it." You know what? If you're all in, that's what you do. So what about it now? You're waiting. They've been pretty faithful. In fact, they've been very faithful. There's really nothing here that corrects their doctrine as much as it just tries to help them to understand. You're just being misled. You need to compare the scriptures. You need to compare the teaching. So that's where we're going to start this morning, is in chapter number 4. We'll make some other references, but if you're there, you can and you will. Please stand with me for the reading of God's Word to give honor unto which honor is due, and that is the scriptures, the true, pure, living Word of God. The Bible says in chapter number 4, verse number 1, "Furthermore," I don't know about your Bible, but in mine it's all capitalized, so I like to read it like it looks. "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, to do your own business, to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing." What should a Christian who's waiting for the return of Christ, what should they do? There are a lot of answers. Some would say, well, you need to be a witness. You need to do this. You need to do this. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. You're waiting, so whatever you're doing, abound in it. Which means do it more and more. Why? Jesus isn't here yet. Not time to stop. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and thank you for your word that teaches us. And I do pray this morning that you would help, first of all, those who are believers. They know if they died right now, they'd go to heaven. They're certain of it. That you'd help them to hear the truth, the encouragement by the Apostle Paul in the truth of abounding and what that looks like and what we as believers should abound in. Lord, I pray as well for those who are unsaved. And God, most earnestly I pray for them because you are returning very soon. And when you do, those who've heard truth will be given a lie and they'll believe it because they have rejected it. And so I pray today that they would see the urgency of getting their relationship with you lined out through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that we would see souls saved and help them to understand that we're not talking about some kind of a fairy tale that was dreamed up, but that we can earnestly see the even the work of creation screaming that time is coming to an end. I pray that there would be an urgency to receive you. God, work in our hearts and our lives. And God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would give me unction, clarity of thought, that nothing would be said that would distract, but God, everything would simply glorify and honor and praise you and draw attention to you. We'll thank you for what you do and give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We do have not in every church I've been in, thankfully, in this church I see that there's movement forward. I was here, Twyla and I got to be here 3 years ago and preached a revival, and there's a bunch more people here today, which tells me that this church is still working properly. Because a church that's working properly should be growing. I see new faces, I see old faces, I see really old faces, and then I see funny faces. There's all kind of faces. And then I see faces that are completely disinterested. I know that some of you are sitting here right now and you're thinking, well, it's a good time to sleep. Some of you are going, wow, I wish I was outside with the junior church. And so am I, by the way. So, I love it when a church is moving forward. And all of God's churches should be moving forward because we have a good reason to move forward. But I will say that sometimes in churches, there are pockets of people that just kind of get comfortable. And they sit. They watch. When it comes to work, and I'm not mocking, well, maybe I am, but, you know, the preacher asked for hands, people to set up tables, and three hands went up. I know it's because Baptists don't raise hands. If I were to ask a question, how many of you are breathing? Half of you would not raise your hand because, you know, I know he's trying to trick us. So I won't ask you to raise your hand and tell me if you're breathing. Some of you may not be, and that's a miracle in and of itself. But it's amazing to me as I've watched the people, especially from my point of observation, the people that have been faithful in church and have been consistently servants, and I understand health and all of that, so I'm speaking generally to older folks or people that are struggling or who have been in church in a long time, been saved a long time, we do have a tendency to kind of wait. We did get to spend some time with the pastor and his wife this week, and we got to talking as men about waiting. If you're a man, you wait a lot if you're married. And it's not a bad thing. I mean, it's not a bad thing because usually it's worth the wait. I always say usually because sometimes it's not, but usually it is. It is worth the wait in it. And let's say this: waiting is difficult. So I know, and I said this earlier in the Sunday school hour, I know people that I saw that were faithful people, and I've heard people even say, well, I've heard this all my life. I grew up in Baptist church. Some of you did not, and I get that, but here's what I heard almost every service. Jesus is coming again. You need to be ready. Jesus is coming again. I'm 60 years old. I've heard it thousands of times in my life. And sometimes I go, I believe that, but it's not happening fast enough for me because I'm impatient. Now what do I do? I'm easily distracted. I know many of you think that what goes on in front of the preacher while he's up here, he doesn't see, but he sees everything. If you're dozing, I see you. If you're scratching your neck, I've already seen that. If you're bothering someone, I've seen that as well. I see the lady over here moving her hands. It doesn't distract me. I'm glad that she's there helping folks to hear the message. But I'm telling you, you see things, but sometimes you don't see God working, and so you wonder, why is it so bad? Why doesn't Jesus come back? Is he coming back? So what should I be doing? Not what do I do, but what should I be doing? Well, this is a problem here in Thessalonica, and it's going to be a problem. I'm sure it's a big problem now in 2023. What am I supposed to do? Well, the Bible says here that we're supposed to abound more and more. Now, the word abound means to forcefully act out something that's within us that cannot be contained. If you've ever sneezed, very hard to contain a sneeze. It's in there, it's building, it's coming. You know it's coming. You don't want, it's in the middle of the service. I don't want to sneeze and go, wah! Ah! So you try to hold it, and you get one of these. You can't contain it. You can't contain it. In fact, they say you shouldn't try to contain a sneeze, because it can hurt you. So you should, I mean, when I sneeze, I just, wahoo! And then make it way bigger than it is so the Twilo will go, good grief. You sneeze like an old person. What does that mean exactly? That I'm old. We were glad to be here to be a help to all the couples in the church, and let's pray. But I'm not a good waiter, so I'm sitting there waiting for dinner to be served. What in the world? Well, here's what the Bible says. Abound more and more. Well, abound more and more in what? Because a lot of us are abounding more and more in a lot of things, but are we abounding more and more in the right things? And that's what I love about this. I love the Bible because it gives me exact explanation of what I'm supposed to be abounding in, so I can take it from this vantage point that if I'm not abounding in this, I'm not operating properly waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to return. So the first thing that he tells us to abound more and more in is abound in controlling yourself. Do you know the greatest control problem we have is controlling ourselves? We do. We like things. We want things. We desire to do things. We think that these things are important and they need to be done. I'm a person that when I see something, it needs to be done immediately, especially around the house, because I know me. I can't live with it like that. Right before Thanksgiving, in fact, it was the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, I looked at the kitchen sink and it was leaking around it, and this is a true story, unfortunately. And at, I don't know, it was like 3 in the afternoon, I said, you know what, I'm going to go buy a sink, I'm going to buy the stuff to put it in, I'm going to go there, I'm going to go get the stuff, and I'm going to put it in, and it'll only take me, my brother was with me, he's a construction guy, a couple hours. An hour, yeah, it'll only take an hour. He's a liar. And So we bought the sink. I bought a nice sink and thought this will be really nice for Thanksgiving and we can use this. And I saw it needed to be done. It needed to be done. And I do. I lose control. I mean, my mind clicks and I'm like, robot. Sink. Why is this sink so much? Go home. This is going to take a long time. Because now we have to refit all the plumbing underneath. We have to we ripped up some of the formica because we didn't have granite cabinets. Oh boy, how are we going to fix that? Oh, we got to cut it bigger. It's got to be bigger. These mounts aren't going to fit. Midnight. I'm tired. I got to go to bed. But if this sink isn't done by the time Twilight gets up, it ain't going to be pretty. I better abound a little bit. I better be pressing on more and more and more. 1:30. Wow. I got to get this done because I'm supposed to be up at 5:30 to start smoking the turkey. I'm in big trouble. Yeah, this is bad. Sometimes my impulsiveness is completely wrong. I need to control it. Telling somebody off is impulsive. You need to control it. Griping at work, you need to control it. Why? Jesus is coming. We have a job to do. A person that is not controlling this vessel, and it's called throughout the Bible a vessel. In fact, in Corinthians, it's called an earthen vessel. There are things, vessels of the earth, vessels of the heavens. Right now, we're in an earthen vessel. The Bible says, so that we can show forth the glory of God in this vessel. He says, abound in controlling yourself. Now, there are a lot of vices and a lot of things. There are people that have struggled with different things. And if there's no other reason you control yourself because God's given you the ability to control yourself. Now, let me just kind of stop and qualify this. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've not called upon the name of the Lord, you can't control yourself by yourself. You can't do it. But the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So you and I have been given the ability in Christ to control this vessel. Now, I wish the world knew how to control itself, but it doesn't. Without Christ, it is impossible to be in control. But Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, knows these people are saved because they're concerned about the return of Christ. And he says, so here's some things you can do while you're waiting. Control your vessel. Be under control. Make sure that you know that people are watching you. Make sure that you know that you should be presenting a picture of Christ to them. That's how you control it. Keep your tongue, your actions, your thoughts under control. Keep your TV watching under control. Keep your mouth and your movements under control. When you're raising your children, control yourself. Any parent that loses it with their children and begins to yell, you've already lost it. They've already won. You go, why? Because you've lost control. Control. He says, you need to, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So he uses the example of fornication. These people grew up worshiping false gods. And worshiping false gods is full of fleshly things that appeal to the flesh. So I guess you could just ask this. Is what I'm doing appealing to my flesh more than working out what God is doing in me by the Spirit? Again, if you have never accepted Christ, if you've never, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never done that, if you've never called upon the name of the Lord, you can't control yourself. Why? Well, you're controlled by this. But here's what the Bible says. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, he's just using an example of when you're drunk and you're controlled by alcohol, there's an obvious influence. So what is the influence that influences you most in your vessel? The Holy Spirit of God working through the Word of God, teaching you, admonishing you, causing you to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord? Or does your outward vessel reflect that you're attached to the world and that's how you operate? He said, you know what I taught you. This vessel should be under control. It should be under control. What you watch, your flesh should not draw you to things you shouldn't see. When you're driving and you see something you shouldn't see, you shouldn't stare. You should move your eyes away. What does your vessel reflect? What abounds from your vessel? It's much like Old Faithful. Very faithful. Explodes. I mean, just beautiful geyser. Heat builds, blows up, can't be contained. You need to know that whatever you really are on the inside will come out of this vessel. You can't hide it. You have a bad attitude. You don't like to listen to the Word of God. I know you don't believe it, but it shows on your face. When you're speaking to someone and they disagree with you, you know, if you have a child that's a teenager, if you have a child that's 5, that's 2, if you have a child, you've seen that and you've said, are you listening to me? What did I say? Or, as they get older, did you hear what I said? Don't get ready to bark at me. I will slap that back in your mouth. It's easy to see. It's easy to see when people are disconnected. Why? Because whatever's on the inside comes out of this vessel. You better be in control of it. You know how to control it? What's on the inside? That's why he says, it's your sanctification. Sanctification, you're sanctified. You're set apart to holiness by Jesus Christ, under the blood of Jesus Christ immediately. But it is also a process that you must willingly surrender to. It is a step-by-step, moment-by-moment sanctification. So he says, abound, if you want to control your vessel, abound in sanctification. Abound in it. Learn the Holy Scriptures. Learn the things that will help you not to be like verse number 5, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. He says, know how to possess your own vessel in sanctification, honor, and honor, absolutely the opposite of the world. You want a good gauge? If it looks like the world, then don't do that. Don't imbibe in it. Don't gravitate to it. If the world's talking about it, don't do it. I've heard this all my life. And I think it's a bunch of bah humbug. I don't like it. No, sanctification is not necessarily one of those deals you go, woo-hoo, this is... Because most of the time, my body, my flesh, desires things that are completely opposite of God. That's why he says, abound in it. Again, the only way you can abound is whatever's on the inside works out of you. God is always working in you to work out of you. Sanctification, the process of sanctification, is seen as a Christian grows older in Christ, they should be more and more separated from the world. And I just simply mean they shouldn't talk like, act like, smell like the world. They shouldn't. They shouldn't react like the world. Anger should not be part of us. It should be put away from us. Malice should be not part of us. People in churches all over America today are in another church because they got mad at somebody in this church over here. You know what they took with them? The same anger they had over here, they now have in this church. Why? Because they're not sanctified. You have to deal with the problem according to the scriptures to be sanctified. It's a process. Understand, if you're saved, you're already set apart to that process. But now you have to be willing to surrender to it. I don't believe a Christian that gets saved is going to automatically start doing exactly what they're supposed to. That's a misnomer. There's got to be a process. But I do believe that a person who's been saved quite a while ought to be completely different. I think when you're talking to them, they should be able to say to you, and it's right to do this. No, I used to do these things. They're not acceptable anymore. I don't even think about them. And then they should probably say, and I have no idea really how that happened. Well, I do. It's called sanctification. The more you hear the Word of God, the more you grow in faith, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Therefore, the more wickedness you will put away. And listen, some of the things that we think are wicked, some of the things we look at the world and go, well, why doesn't God kill them? Why didn't, you know what? Sin is sin is sin is sin. So lying to your brother is a sin. Stealing from someone is a sin. Even if you would say this, well, it didn't hurt anybody. If it's sin, it's sin. I recently have dealt with a situation of immorality in a relationship, and this is what the man said. Well, it didn't really hurt anybody. What? You got two daughters. You got a wife. It didn't hurt anybody? Well, I mean, it was my private choice. Yeah, and it was the dumbest choice you've ever made because you've thrown your life away. Well, all I did was say this to this one person, and they repeated it, and they repeated it, and they... Sin never is a private matter. Be sure your sin will find you out. Absolutely. So he says, make sure that you're abounding in your sanctification. Here's the best way to be sanctified. When you read it, don't argue with it. Obey it. Amen. Just obey it. Brother Ron, that's too simplistic. Don't you wish your children would act simply? I didn't ask your opinion. I want your obedience. Do you know God doesn't care what we think about this? He doesn't care about our feelings. I actually heard people say these words. Well, that seems so harsh. Yeah, it's harsh to me too. It's the Bible. And Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth. If you don't know the truth, you feel like you're free. But when you know the truth, you'll actually be set free. Amen. Obey. Just obey. Well, Brother Ron, what does that mean? I could give you a litany of obedience things. I really don't need to, but I could say this. I'll just say this. Faithfulness to church is a big part of it. Why? Well, where are you going to learn to be sanctified other than be around other people that you go, they're different. Remember when they came here? Now they're different. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, this is what God does. Or you hear the Word of God over and over and over again. This isn't the first time you've heard this, and you hear it over and over and over again, and here's what you do. Well, maybe there's something to this, and the Holy Spirit starts going,
I'm talking to you. Who, me? Yes, you. Why are you talking to me? You need to listen. You need to obey.
Brother Ron, I've been in church so long and nothing speaks to me anymore. Then the Holy Spirit should be saying to you right now, why don't you hear me speaking to you? If I went to church and never got anything out of a message, I'd be very afraid. God wants to work in you, so He's not just going to leave you alone. I don't know about you, but when I raised my children, I bothered them until they... Of course, I bother a lot of people, but obviously I bothered the pastor and his wife this week. But, I mean, all he's done is say, Twyla was good, but Ron, no. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm really not. But I would bother them. If the Word of God bothers you, stop and say, why? If you hate being around people that are happy and joyful all the time, you have a problem. God's trying to work in you, and you're stopping Him. Why? He set you apart for this process. The next thing we're supposed to abound in is in our Christian relationships. It says that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such as we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us the Holy Spirit. He says, abound in your godly relationships. The people around you at church, you should, check this out, love. Read 1 John. If you say that you love God and you hate your brother, you lie. Why? It's the commandment Jesus gave the disciples. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, and that ye love one another. It is said that during the years after Jesus died and rose again, that the church was known for its Christian love, that they had all things in common, that they did not speak ill of one another, that they got along and looked like they belonged to each other in Jerusalem, that they moved in unity. Abound in it. Come on purpose with the desire to get along with people. Wouldn't that be unique? I came to get along with the pastor today. I came to get along with his wife. I came to get along with Sister so-and-so, who told me that I was the nastiest person she ever met. You know, I'm going to get along with her today. I choose to get along. This is the hard one. I'm going to get along with my wife or my husband today. I'm going to actually try to get along with my 17-year-old son, who thinks he's really smart, but he hasn't shown any smart since I've known him. I'm going to try. I'm going to abound. You know why? I want that to be in me. Now, I love it. Twyla and I were sitting here listening, and I'm just going to commend most of you. I wasn't judging. Oh, that guy's just sitting down, loser. I didn't do that because I didn't know who was sitting down. But what I noticed was how loud it was in here before services. Now you go, well, is that bad? No, that's good. That's really good, because that means most of you like each other. And if you don't, you were speaking really loud to people you did like. That was really awesome. I leaned over and I said to Twyla, this is like being home. I love going to churches where it's like being home, where people enjoy each other. You know what that tells me? That you like each other, that there's Christian love here. But here's what Paul says. Don't just stop with a little bit. Abound in it. You haven't spoken to this person in a while? Go out of your way to do it. Abound in it. Visitors, abound in speaking to them. Go outside of yourself and let God work out of you what He's working in you. Don't defraud one another. Don't even think that way. He says in verse number 9, but as touching brotherly love, ye not need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Look, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost right at salvation. It should be natural to love people. Even if you're a homebody or you don't really like being around people, or you're I talked about this Wednesday night, you're an older person and you're just, the stinking kids are so loud. I just want a little peace and quiet. That's why I come to church. Pretty bad decision. Yeah. Church is not where it's going to be quiet. Not this one. I have been in some that I'm like, is anybody out there? Y'all are pretty much awake, mostly. But here's what he says. You don't have to be taught brotherly love. It's inside. Abound in it. Let it out. Just let it out. Some of you are given to fellowship. Some of you are not. I dare you. Instead of just coming in and sitting down, go find somebody to talk to. Force yourself. I'm shy. Wait. Brotherly love is in you. Let it out. Why? Because God gave it to you. He says right there, he gave it to you. Let abound in brotherly love. Abound in loving one another. And he says, and indeed ye do it toward all the brethren within all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. You know why? Because God gives us more than we actually can contain. Seems like we'd be letting out a little bit of that stuff. God loved us so much that he gave himself for us. Are you willing to give yourself? I'm not talking about protecting someone with your life. I'm talking about give yourself, get outside of yourself in brotherly love to someone else. He says, abound more and more. Now that is redundant, because the word abound means to go overboard abounding. So when he says abound more and more, it should be like an explosion of, I am so glad to see you. This would creep most of you out, I know. So glad to see you. You're such a... I missed you. And I saw you just this morning. It was... I'm so glad to see you. I hug him because I know he doesn't do hugs, so... He doesn't even do bro hugs. Hey, what's up, bro? No, he doesn't do.
Don't forget.
All week. Where have you been? You were at the church. I missed you. Come here and give me a hug. I don't know why he rejected me so much. Finally, he says this. Verse number 11, and with this we'll close. And I believe it's the most important point, because we're looking at coming back. Jesus coming back. He says this, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Now don't be mistaken. When he says study to be quiet, he's not talking about... He's talking about your spirit being quiet, not anxious. Be careful for nothing. You and I are supposed to be calm, not worried, not complacent, but also very aware that because of what the Scripture says, I can wait calmly. Especially the closer we get to Jesus coming, the Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. It means that it is not going to get better. I know people would love a United States revival. It can happen in churches, I still believe that. But on a national scale, if you'll look, I believe we're at the place where God is saying, I've given you a lot of truth and you haven't done anything with it. Don't be guilty of that coming to church. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Know what's going on in your world. understand that Jesus is coming back and things are only going to get worse. Don't marvel at these things that are going on, going, I can't believe this is happening. Of course it's happening. Mankind is not getting better. We never have. Since the Garden of Eden, it's gone downhill. I mean, it was a short time to the flood. It's been a long time since the flood. And we've only gone and gotten worse and worse. Don't say, well, I really believe, I believe in positive thinking, but you and I need, and really depending on God and trusting God, but we also need to be practical. And the only way we can do that is by studying the Word of God. Study. Abound in it. Okay, you read your Bible? Start reading your Bible more. Because I'm sure the closer we get to Jesus is coming, we need the Bible less, right? You're in church. You come to church Sunday. Start coming Sunday night and Wednesday. Amen. Why? Because I'm sure the closer Jesus is coming gets, we're going to need less and less church. You witness? You witness to people that you're around? We'll start witnessing to people you don't know. Why? Because I'm sure the closer we get to Jesus' coming, we need to be witnessing less and less. Abound. He calls us to abound. A church that's abounding is doctrinally correct because they're diligent to protect it, because they've studied. They hear the preacher and then they go back and look at the verses. They don't sit and listen to a message and go, well, yeah, whatever. I got my one message in for the week. Now I can move on to the things I like to do. So he says, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without. What should the church be doing more and more and abounding in more and more as it gets closer to Jesus' coming? Soul winning. Being concerned about somebody else's soul other than your own. If you're saved, God's given you a great, wonderful gift. Wouldn't it be great if you abounded in telling other people? Now, here's two excuses I've heard, and I'm going to close with this. One of them is, well, I just don't have that calling. Wrong. The Bible says, not only are you called, you're commanded. We're not called to sit and be quiet about salvation. Jesus told the disciples and all of the apostles wrote, go, go, go ye into all the world. Why? Jesus Christ is alive. And because he's alive, others can live. You're living, why wouldn't you tell that? The second one I've heard is, well, I mean, I did that for a while and people just in this day and age aren't receiving it. I mean, Brother Ron, you can't imagine how hard it is to witness to people. Yes, I can imagine how hard it is to witness to people. It's very difficult. But guess what? They've never loved the gospel. There's never been a time in our history where everybody jumped all in except in Acts. And even then, they persecuted those who believed it. Why? Because the truth is not popular in any generation. And for someone to be told that they're a sinner and they're dying and going to a devil's hell that God made for the devil and his angels, not them, and that they can choose life in Jesus Christ, they have to first admit they're a sinner. That's hard. That's hard. I'm not a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. It's my responsibility, the closer we get to Jesus' return, to walk abounding so that people go, I want what he has. And I walk up to them and say, listen, can I show you from the Bible how you can know you're going to heaven so that they can know that they're going to heaven. And I'm taking a brother or a sister with me to heaven. Because Jesus is coming back. And the only thing you're taking with you are the people you win to Christ.
Amen.
Nothing else. Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many of you say this morning, Brother Ron, I know for sure if I died right now, I've accepted Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand as a testimony to that? I know I'm saved. There's just no doubt about it. I'm thankful for it. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Praise the Lord for that. Maybe you couldn't raise your hand. You're not sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. And you've thought about what would happen to me. If I were to leave this planet, what would happen? And you'd say, Brother Ron, I sense the need of prayer. I've thought about this. It has troubled me. I would like to know for sure what would happen to me now. You need to know. I'm not going to come to you and embarrass you. I'm not going to send people to your house. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for you. But I'm going to pray that the Lord gives you the courage to find out today. If you're serious and you're saying, I've wondered what would happen to me and I'm concerned about it, would you pray for me? I sure would if you'd let me. Is everybody like that? Brother Ron, by raising my hand, I'm just asking you to pray with me. Again, I'm not going to come to embarrass you. I'm just going to pray for you. Is there anybody like that? Brother Ron, pray for me. I'm just not sure. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned. I am concerned. And Christian, let me ask you, are you abounding in these things? Jesus Christ is coming. He's coming again. It doesn't matter when. It is the fact that He is coming that should cause us to abound. Some have already come and spoken to the Lord. Maybe you just say, Brother Ron, I'd ask you to pray with me about some things God's spoken to me about today. Would you do that? I sure would if you'd let me. If you'd raise your hand, I sure would love to pray with you. Anybody like that? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all over. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Anybody else before we go to prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for these folks who you've spoken to their heart. And I do pray that even we who are doing what we're supposed to do would hear these words, abound more and more. I pray it would be our heart for you to work out of us so greatly that it can't help but be seen by others, so that we can bring you glory in this earthen vessel. I pray for these who raised their hand just now and ask you to speak to their heart. God, I pray that you'd give them courage to even speak back to you. And whatever way you're working on them, I pray that they would surrender and that you'd be glorified by their lives. Thank you so much for the attentiveness here, the love for your word. I pray that you bless each family, each person that's here today. Give them a certain extra dose of peace and comfort and grace today because they made the effort. For those who are unsaved, I pray, God, you'd speak to them, work in their hearts in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, you may stand.